Bhagavad Gita as it is. Let's read from chapter 15, text 7. Those who have a Gita, anybody has a Gita? There's one here. This is chapter, Yoga of the Supreme Person. Purushottam. Purushottam means person. Uttama, Puru means person, Purusha. The highest person. This is our definition of God. No one is equal to or greater than. This is the Supreme Being. No one is equal to or greater than. So this is the describing in this chapter how the Lord is supreme. Actually, we could go to another part in this chapter that tells more. Okay, let's change. Let's go to chapter 15, text 16. Dvaimo purusho loke sharas chakshara evacha sharas sarvani bhutani kutasto Shara Uchite, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible, and in the spiritual world, every living entity is infallible. Purport. As already explained, the Lord in His incarnation as Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra. Here the Lord is giving, in summary, the contents of the Vedanta Sutra. He says that the living entities are innumerable, who are innumerable, can be divided into two classes, the fallible and the infallible. The living entities are eternally separated parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when they are in contact with the material world, they are called Jiva Bhuta, the Sanskrit word given here, Shara Sarvani Bhutani, means that they are fallible. Those who are in oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, are infallible. Oneness does not mean that one has no individuality, but that there is no disunity. They are all agreeable to the purpose of the creation. Of course, in the spiritual world, there's no such thing as creation, but since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is stated in the Vedanta Sutra, is the source of all emanations, that concept is explained. According to the statements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, there are two classes of living entities. The Vedas gives evidence of this, so there's no doubt about it. The living entities who are struggling in this world with the mind and five senses have their material bodies which are changing. As long as a living entity is conditioned, his body changes due to contact with matter. Matter is changing, so the living entity appears to be changing. But in the spiritual world, the body is not made of matter. Therefore, there is no change. In the material world, the living entity undergoes six changes: birth, growth, duration, reproduction, then dwindling and vanishing. These are the changes of the material body. But in the spiritual world, the body does not change. There is no old age, there is no birth, there is no death. There all exist in oneness. Shara, Sarvani Bhutani, any living entity who has come in contact with matter, beginning from the first created being Brahma, down to a small ant, is changing its body. Therefore, they are infallible. Therefore, they are fallible. In the spiritual world, however, they are always liberated in oneness. Next verse. Uttama purusha tvanya paramatmeti udaritaha yoloka trayam avishya vibhartyavyayam ishvara. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. Purport. The idea in this verse is very nicely explained in the Katha Upanishad and Svetasvara Upanishad. It is clearly stated there that the above the innumerable living entities, some of whom are condition, and some of who are liberated, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma. The Upanishadic verses runs as follows. Nicho nichanam chaitanam chaitananam. The purport is that amongst all the living entities, both conditioned and liberated, there is one supreme living personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who maintains them and gives them all the facility of enjoyment according to different work. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. A wise man who can understand him is eligible to attain perfect peace, not others. And one more verse. Yasmat sharam etitoham aksharada pichotamaha atosmi lokavede cha pratita purushottama. Here's that word, purushottama. Translation. Because I am, Krishna speaking, because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in this world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. Purport. No one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, neither the conditioned souls nor the liberated souls. He is therefore the greatest of personalities. Now it is clear here that the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are individuals. The difference is that living entities, either in the conditioned state or the liberated state, cannot surpass in quantity the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is incorrect to think of the Supreme Lord and the living entities as being on the same level or equal in all respects. There is always the question of superiority and inferiority between their personalities. The word uttama is very significant. No one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word loke signifies in the Purusha Agama, the Smriti scriptures, as confirmed in a Nirukti dictionary, lokayete vedarto nena. The purpose of the Vedas is explained by the Smriti scriptures. The Supreme Lord, in his localized aspect of Paramatma, is also described in the Vedas themselves. The following verse appears in the Vedas, Chandogya Upanishad. I'll skip the Sanskrit. The Supreme Soul, coming out of the body, enters the impersonal Brahmajyoti, then in his form, he remains in his spiritual identity. That Supreme Person, or that Supreme, is called the Supreme Personality. This means that the Supreme Personality is exhibiting and diffusing his spiritual effulgence, which is the ultimate illumination. That Supreme Personality also has a localized aspect as Paramatma. By incarnating himself as the son of Satyavati and Parashara, he explains the Vedic knowledge as Vyasadeva. Omagyana timidandasya janagana salakayam chaksus militam jena tasmai shi gurave namaha shi chaitanya manavistam shapitam jena bhutale sayam rupa karamaya dadati sa padantika vandeham shi guru shi yatabara kamalam shi guru vaishnavamscha shi rupam sagajatan saganaraganatan vitam sajivam Sadvaitam, Sarvarutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha, Krishna Padan, Sagana Lalita, Shri Vishaka Vitamscha, Hey Krishna, Karana Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopisha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vinda Vaneshari, Vishuvanu Stute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama So this is a nice section. It describes the three different types of living entities. Those are conditioned, those are liberated, and the Supreme. So the Supreme also expands himself into other, you can say, individuals who have the same potency as him. We give the example of the original candle. From the original candle, another candle is lit. It has the same strength as the first candle, but still we say the original. So Krishna is the avatar-e. He's the source of all avatars, including Vishnu, Lord Rama, Nrisimha. So many expansions are there. but he's the original. And they all know that. Like we read in the Krishna book about Balaram, he's the immediate expansion, but he knows that Krishna is superior. Even he's the elder brother. Radharani, he's the greatest devotee of the Lord. Sometimes Krishna comes and falls at her feet, but she knows that she's a servant of Krishna. In her own consciousness, she understands. The spiritual master, like Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he was asked, are you God? And his answer was, no, I'm a servant of God. Then he went on to say, to qualify even more, I should say, I'm aspiring to be a servant of God. Be a servant of God is not an easy thing. So this is the understanding. We are monotheistic. Sometimes the ordinary people think that Hinduism means some cultural movement, and there's only three great monotheistic traditions in the world, the Jewish, the Muslims, and the Christians. But in our culture, Vaishnav culture, we're also monotheistic. We believe there's one God, Krishna. And we have clear idea. You ask the Muslim, oh, what does Allah look like? Well, no, you can't ask that question. They get angry. Yes. What does he do? Does he have friends? And the Christians also, they have a hazy idea. The Father, what's he doing? He's sitting on a throne? How does he pass his time? They don't like to talk about that even. But we have so much description of the activities and the friends and the associates of the Lord and how they behave from morning till night, what they're doing. So this is the most complete theistic conception. Mm-hmm. But we have to begin for understanding, first of all, who we are. We're not this body. This is the first teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. And here also we see we are the particle of the Lord, the same quality. We give the example of sun and the sunlight. They both have the same quality, but one is great and one is small. So we're the small particle of the Lord. Amsa. Amsa means particle. Mama vamsa jivaloke. But we're eternal, as is God. We've always existed. Just like the sun. Whenever the sun is there, the sunlight is always there. So God is never alone. Living entities are eternally existing along with God. But because they're small, sometimes they become covered by the third energy, or the external energy, or the material energy. So material energy means it has no consciousness. We give the example of the byproduct of the sun. We're giving the analogy of the sun and the sunlight. So a lump of coal is also nothing but the energy of the sun. But it's a transformation of the sun's energy into a black, hard piece of coal. But you can get the energy of the sun again when you put it in the fire, then that energy of the sun comes out. So matter is also energy of God. It's not outside of God, nothing outside of God. But within that oneness, there's diversity. Not a very difficult concept, but that people want to make everything one. No, this is a wrong idea. One and different also. This is oneness because nothing is outside of God. But within that oneness, just like the government is one, but has different departments. Or fire is one, but it has two energies, light and heat. So God is one, and in one sense you can say, taken all together, we are included. We are also God, because we're part of God. But the part is not equal to the whole. So there's a distinction. There's also a difference. One and different. So that requires a little intelligence to understand. Otherwise, you can also come to the point of duality. Like the Christians, they seem to think that the devil, it has his own power source separate from God, that he's eternally the enemy of the Lord, diabolical. But we have no such conception. We say that the material energy personified is doing a thankless task to keep us bewildered, to keep us enamored with the glitter of material life, success and fame and prestige and money and beautiful women, whatever the world is running after. Women are running after the men. So both. In any case, these things are temporary. They won't really satisfy you. So This is the proper conception. Otherwise, you become full of hate. We see in the name of God how much torture is going on in the world, real torture, because of some difference in philosophy. So because you're a Shiite and I'm a Sunni, then I can torture you. And it was going on in Christianity too. I was in Peru, Lima, Peru. They have a museum there, bigger than this room, maybe three or four times bigger. You know, it was full of torture machines. How to pull people's nails out, and a rack where people were stretched until they came apart. Can you imagine? And they were doing it, why? Because he was a Protestant, and I'm a Catholic. So in the name of God, there's a big scope for mischief. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada cautioned us, philosophy without religion is simply mental speculation, concoction, my idea, your idea. Everyone is different. Every philosopher has to be a little different. Spinoza and Kant and whatever, it goes on and on. Each one has got a different idea. Therefore, because there's no authority. They don't believe in God, in a sense, or they don't believe that God has communicated his teachings to us. But we say, Dharma Tukshakshat Bhagavad Pranita, that religion is coming from God. Real Dharma is coming from God, descending. And the other side is, if we have religion without philosophy, then it's mental speculation then it's fanaticism or sentiment. Oh, I love you, I love God. We're killing each other. So we want to remove that material sentiment and we want to remove fanaticism. The only way to do that is to have proper philosophy or theology. Theology. So this is our main book of theology, Bhagavad Gita. We just read one or two verses. You get an idea of some aspect. But if we can study more thoroughly, we'll see from every angle how is God. Actually, the five subjects are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. There's the Lord himself, the living entities, material nature, time, and karma. These things are all discussed. It says of the five, karma is temporary. So that's our hope, that we can transcend our karma. We may have bad karma or good karma according to circumstance. We're going to be experiencing good karma, bad karma. These things don't remain. If we come to the point of liberation, here we're discussing the two different types of living entities. So if we become liberated, we can become free from our karma. This is the whole mission of Krishna here. He's speaking Bhagavad Gita because Arjuna is giving the argument, no, if I do what you want, I'm going to get bad karma. So what does Krishna say? No, if you do what's pleasing to me, then you won't get any karma. Transcendental. There's three words. There's karma, means good activities. There's vikarma, means prohibitive activities. And there's akarma. Akarma means activities that don't produce any more material result. Then what result do you get? Yes, you get a spiritual body. Go on with your devotional activities or spiritual activities, and then gradually all your karma will be finished. Uh-oh, it's my karma. There she is. The boy or girl? So we're aspiring for that, where we can get free from the material reactions. And then, as mentioned here, we'll get a spiritual body. In the spiritual world, there's no old age, disease, death. There's no transformation because the soul is eternal. Like with Krishna, we say Krishna. We never see picture of Krishna as an old man because his body is eternally youthful. It doesn't get wrinkles and bald head like some people. He's always youthful. So we have such a spiritual body. It's there in our heart. But it's covered by two material coverings. One is subtle, mind, intelligence, and ego. These things are also material, false ego. And then there's a gross body that we can see, earth, water, air, fire, ether. So it's like two envelopes, and underneath them both is the soul. So if we take to this devotional service, bhakti yoga, then we'll qualify to transcend those two coverings, or they'll dissolve, you can say. And then our spiritual body will become resplendent or manifested. And then in that spiritual body, we can render more intimate service to the Lord. And it's done, you can say, with love, of course. So we're practicing now. We're practicing how to serve the Lord. That will purify us. There's so many things we're doing for our purification, especially this chanting of the name of the Lord. Our spiritual master used to give the example of iron in a fire. If you keep iron in a fire, it becomes just like fire. So if we keep ourselves immersed in the chanting of the name of the Lord, then we'll become spiritualized. Not that we become God. No, constitutionally, we're the fragmented part. But we can become Nitya Mukta. We can become eternally liberated by taking this process. So it was the wrong idea. I remember I was, before I became connected with this ISKCON society, I was going to a group, a yoga group, and the teacher would tell us, in our meditation, he would say, be still and know that you are God. And I was thinking, wow, I never thought I was God. But maybe I'll try it. Maybe. So that's the half-truth. We are God, because we're not outside of God, but we're not equal to God in all respects. And that's easily demonstrable, because we're dependent. Nicho, nichanam, chaitanam, chaitanam. There are two. One is dependent, one is independent. Who can claim they're not dependent? What if there's no supply of air? How long can we maintain ourselves? A few moments only. Then we're choking. So we're dependent on the light, on the sunlight, on the so many things, food. So we should ultimately declare our dependence on the Lord. This is what's wanted. Lord Jesus was also teaching. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your neighbor as yourself. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. See, that's the oneness. The oneness is we're in harmony with the will of the Lord. And we can do that even here in the material world. This is the idea. We want to create the replica of the spiritual world here in the material world. We can do that by putting God in the center. So it's not something new. Muhammad was also teaching that. Lord Jesus was teaching that. How to put God in the center, how to submit to the will of the Lord. But unfortunately, the followers often deviate. And we have to be careful of that also, because Srila Prabhupada is our acharya. He's the empowered representative. We see his murtis here in all of ISKCON temples. We respect him as the representative of the Lord. So if we try to remain loyal to him, to his teachings, not adding or subtracting, he's saying here, Bhagavad Gita as it is, if we do our best sincerely to keep to please him, then we can remain united. Then we can create a spiritual world. But if we start putting ourselves in the center, then the same problem comes. So this is not a new concept, how to keep God in the center, or God's pure representative in the center. And those who are doing it, we congratulate them. Some monasteries or whatever. If they're able to really and truly keep Lord Jesus in the center, then certainly they're getting some spiritual benefit, some spiritual experience. Our process is similar, but we are coming from, it's called parampara, disciplic succession, coming from Lord Krishna. Coming down, our spiritual master received the knowledge from his spiritual master, and he got it from his spiritual master. So it's descending. Therefore, Prabhupada can write such nice purports to the words of Krishna without deviating. And what is the qualification? That we have to become the devotee of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna. Arjuna wasn't a Brahmin. In the Vedic culture, the Brahmin is considered the priestly class, the intellectual class. So Arjuna was he was the next class. He was a warrior. He wasn't considered the guide of society. Why was he chosen to hear Bhagavad Gita? He was also not a sannyasi. In the Vedic culture, sannyasis are given respect because they have no contact with intimate contact with women, so they are considered as pure. But Arjuna wasn't a pure. He wasn't pure like that. He had even more than one wife at the time when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. But why was he chosen? That's just described in the fourth chapter. Those who have the book, they can turn there. Chapter 4, text 3. Then we'll get the why Arjuna was chosen. I can't get there faster, sorry. Saeyam sa eva yam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanaha bhakto sime shaka cheti rasayam ye tad utamam. Krishna speaking to Arjuna. He says, that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So without being a devotee, we won't understand Bhagavad Gita. This is also confirmed in the 18th chapter. We can turn there, those who have a book. Chapter 18, text number 55. Bhakti amami abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva visatetar anantaram. One can understand me as I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So throughout Gita, this path of bhakti marg or bhakti yoga is being recommended. Krishna advises at the end, just give up everything, surrender to me. This is bhakti. So again, we don't have a monopoly on it, but we feel we have a very authorized process coming into simple succession, and we're receiving it from a fully self-realized soul, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, who spent time here in Boston in the early 70s. So we feel ourselves very fortunate that Krishna sent such a representative who could inspire us by his example. Without example, it's difficult. But we had his example. You can also have his example. There's so many videos and tapes, and you'll see him, how he walked, how he talked. And then you can become inspired. Without example, it's difficult. You'll begin to speculate. But we have an example, therefore acharya means one who teaches by example. Then we can say, okay, I should try to be like that. We can't claim that we're him, but we can follow in his footsteps. Just like a child. So the little child is there. Without having example, they'll remain crawling. Sometimes a jungle animal brings up a child, lost child. They don't learn how to walk because they don't see any example. So we need example. Otherwise, spiritual life will seem impractical. How can we do it? How is it possible that we have to do everything for Krishna? How is it possible that we have... But when we see people are doing that, then we can get inspiration. Okay, let me try. A little bit at least. 1%, 2%. Do something for God. For His pleasure. For so long, we've been trying to make ourselves happy, but we always become frustrated. So in this lifetime, why not try to make God happy? Please Him, or please His representative. Then we'll find that, wow, I'm happy to do that. Sometimes Prabhupada gave the example of a young boy 7-8 years old. He's playing with his friend, his friends. And his father calls him, please come. Yes, daddy, what is it? I want you to help me with this. And then the father takes the help from the son, and the father appreciates it. Thank you very much for your help. Then the boy feels, wow, that's even better than playing with my friends. Getting the recognition from my father, he appreciates me. So something like that. We want to be happy by on our own way, but if we get the blessing of the superior, Guru and Krishna, then that happiness is much more satisfying than the happiness we get, you know, playing with each other. That's what we're doing, right? The whole thing is centered around boy and girl playing with each other in some way. It makes the world go round, isn't there? Singing like that. So there's some pleasure there, we don't deny that. But we're saying that more satisfaction is here on the spiritual side. Any questions?
4, 2, 6.
Yes. How many often do sannyasis come here to your Boston temple? When was the last time a sannyasi was here? Jayadvaita? Well, I'm just thinking, you should have some question.
For us, the liberation, we try to get liberated from this material world, but not so for the material energy of Krishna, but understanding that that's the material energy. Is that the liberation?
Could you say that in another way? I didn't quite follow.
Okay. So this material world is Krishna's entity.
Yeah.
And we want to
transcend it.
Correct. But it's not that we're rejecting the material creation.
How can we reject it? It's there it is.
Right. But we see it in a different way. Is that the intelligence that we need to understand?
Yeah. In other words, we say that material energy is sometimes called Maya. Or an illusion. Illusion in the sense that we're not this body, but it has a real, because it's coming, the same example of a lump of coal. It has real heat, but it's not directly the sun. So this material energy is also God, but it's his external energy. So the way to get free of it is to understand that we're not a product of matter, that we're spiritual. If we identify with our spiritual nature and act on that platform, then gradually we'll be able to, we will be released from the clutches of Maya. Sometimes we say clutches of Maya, but really it's we're clutching Maya. Maya doesn't have a hold on us only because we embrace her. Give me advantage here in this world. We're praying, please, make me success, make me powerful, make me wealthy, happy, all these things we're running for. But the happiness is already there, within. We have to learn how to connect to it. That also we can read. Chapter 18, text number. I'm thinking of the number. 53. 1853. What do we have there? Is that right? Sorry. 1854. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Asochati Nakanshati Samasarvesu Bhutesu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated and once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful, he never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. So, once we realize who we are, we'll be joyful. We won't be pegging, please give me an advantage in this world. Sometimes the material world is compared to a prison house. So nobody's outside the prison. He's not thinking, oh, that prisoner has a better position than the other prisoner. Because they're all in the prison house. But because we're in the prison house, we think this is all in all. And the illusory energy will present itself in such a way, you want to forget God? Here's a good argument. You can forget God. God will give us the intelligence we can forget him. It's because it's based on our desire. Everything is based on our desire. We come to the material world because our desire. That's also explained. Chapter 7, text 27. Isha Dvesha. We come for two reasons. We want to be God, and we're envious somebody else's God. So that mentality can't remain in the spiritual world. So, okay, the Lord gives us the material world. You can imagine you're God. That you're the enjoyer, you're the proprietor, you're the controller. But actually, you're not. But that's why we say Maya. Maya is illusion. Well, you do have an identity, though. It's the Buddhist and others that we don't agree that you can just become zero, a void or something. No, you have an identity. That's also described, chapter 2, text 12. That the living entities, Krishna says, you and I and all these kings have always existed. This verse also we read today. We've always existed in the past. We're existing now. We'll exist in the future. We're eternal individuals. And God is also an individual. So there's no question of void or becoming one, losing our identity. It's like a spiritual suicide. We wouldn't be interested. If we become one with God, it means there's no more love. Love means two, exchange. There's no service if we're all one. Well, our loving service is the most valuable thing. Therefore, we're not interested in that kind of liberation, that we lose our identity, become one with everything. It's like suicide. If you're having a difficult life and you say, okay, I'll just commit suicide that way. But what is that? That's not a solution. Solution is to have a good life. Solution is to have positive spiritual activities. The Buddhists understand that material world, ultimately, it doesn't satisfy. So they say, well, therefore they speculate, it must be zero. Void, zen, whatever. But no. If there's zero, and there's minus one, material life, then why not plus one? Positive alternative. There are direct spiritual activities that you can engage. Then you'll be happy. Then you'll be satisfied. Then you'll be, you can say, unshakable. Because you got a better thing. Param jishta navartate. That verse is there also. By experiencing a higher taste, one will give up this. Chewing the chewed. Something that's already been here, seen that, done that. We become jaded. And so we try to think of something new. Because we're bored. What do we do? Let's become jihadis. That'll be an adventure. And some people are doing that, right? That'll be new. We haven't killed anybody recently. If that word is used, we can look at chapter 7, text 27. Krishna speaks. The question was about why we fall. I mean, we were discussing this today. We read every morning, somehow or other we have fallen. So the question itself is not necessary. In other words, somehow or other we've fallen. So let's get out. Let's come to the spiritual platform. But still, Krishna gives an indication here. Isha dvesha samutvena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani samoham sarge yanti parantapa. O son of Bharat, O conqueror of the foes, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities arisen from desire and hate. So we were saying before, desire. Desire is the nature of the soul. So Krishna never interferes with our desire. So we can desire to be God. Just like in the Bible it describes, the Garden of Eden. Everything was nice, beautiful. But then the temptation came. No, if you eat this fruit, you'll be God. So we can think like that. I want to be God. I don't want to be servant of God. I want to be God. But it's not your constitutional position. But if you think like that, then you can't remain in the spiritual world. Anyone else?
In your personal life, do you value your personal association with Srila Prabhupada or his instructions more?
Well, I was a pretty hardcore case, so I needed his have his association. I think I do, you know, so I feel very grateful that I had a chance to associate. But of course, we read in the Shastra that the Vani is more important. The instruction is more important. Vapu is the physical presence, and Vani is the instruction. Mm-hmm. So those who are more intelligent, they can, just by hearing, they can accept. Didn't Christ say something like that when people were coming asking for some miracle? He said, more blessed are they who, by hearing, accept. You have to see something magic in order to accept. So, here is Prabhupada. He's here in his purpose. He's here in his verses. But I relish the times I had an association with him, yes. Sometimes he's chastised me. And sometimes he encouraged me, depending on whether I was in Maya or not. And I felt that was very valuable. And like I say, I don't know if I could have become a devotee without that personal, training that I got from him. But that, there are many who are training now, giving us advice how to proceed, because Prabhupada never claimed that he's the only guru. We do exalt him as the acharya of our movement, and the gurus in the movement should be representing him, but others also qualify to guide us if they're saying the same thing. Surrender to Krishna and become Krishna's devotee. Then they're also bona fide gurus. Prabhupada wanted thousands of gurus to save the world. The world is going to hell, can't you see? No solution there. Just getting worse. Because the people are sinful. Therefore, they get reaction. So, we have to come to the point of seeing that the sin is against our real self-interest. We're different than this body. This is the beginning. Then, how to get free? We have to know what is sin, what is not sin. Most people don't know. Dharma, we say. Even our president, God bless him, he doesn't know principles of religion properly. For instance, he's in favor of abortion. But the living entity, the soul is in the womb, in the fetus. It's growing. In biology 101, you learn if something's growing because it's alive, then you don't have a right to kill it. You can kill it, of course, because there's no lobby that's going to protest. But you're going to get a reaction. Karma. Now, you may say, I don't believe that, I don't care. Okay, you don't have to believe. Nobody can force you. But then if you understand the theory of karma, it makes everything reasonable. That was a problem for me before I became a devotee. I was a Christian, you can say. Actually, I'd given it up, but I was brought up as a Christian. But a question I had was, well, God is all good, God is all powerful. Why do innocent children suffer? And no priest could satisfy me. Oh, it's a mystery or something. What do you mean? Why is it a mystery? Why is one child born in such a hellish position? Another child is born. Because they have their theory is that the child is only there at the time of conception. The new soul, they say. But now when I understand that the soul is eternal, I can appreciate that. Well, in a past life, maybe that child was abusing children. And so in this life, he's getting some reaction. So I don't see any cruelty in the arrangement of the Lord. Because now I have philosophy. But I have compassion because I see people don't understand that and they're putting their hand in the fire. We know it's going to burn. But an innocent child may not know. Okay, put your hand in the fire. No, we know. We don't let them do that. So we know people are going to suffer because they're breaking the principles of Dharma. Therefore, we have compassion. We're preaching. We could all go on our farms and live peacefully, like the Amish or something, and not have anything to do with the outside world. But no, Prabhupada's mood was to come and to preach. So we're trying to reciprocate with him. We're trying to assist him in his mission. He came right here to Boston, first of all. I met him in New York, 26 Second Avenue. He was extending himself. It wasn't easy. He had a heart attack, stroke, seasickness, so many difficulties. But he was doing it. Why? Because of compassion. So however you come to the point, through the physical presence of Guru or through the instructions of the Acharya, once you come to that point, it doesn't matter. Then you're on the path. You can become perfect. But you have to take the process. What is the process? Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu. Hearing and chanting about the Lord and remembering and serving and offering prayers and so on. Devotional service is the answer. So nobody is disqualified from that. Just a question of desire. If you want to please the Lord, nobody can check it. If you don't want to please the Lord, nobody can force you. Okay, anything else? Now it's time, I think. The deity is opening at 6. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.